So having a target date provider you trust, do that due diligence, pick the right kind of annuity for you, pick the right kind of insurers, that kind of cuts out a lot of that middle ground, I think, for investors.
This is 401k Specialist Editor-in-Chief Brian Anderson, and this is the 401k Specialist Podcast. There's a trend out there where asset managers are using a new strategy to help 401k plan participants manage their retirement spending, target date funds featuring annuities. Morningstar recently did some really interesting research on this, finding there are now somewhere in the neighborhood of a dozen target date series incorporating some form of an annuity that have launched since just the year 2020. And while such vehicles still account for less than 2% of total TDF assets, there's reason to believe this type of solution could gain some serious traction in the coming years. Today, we're going to dive into this topic with one of the report's lead authors, Jason Kephart, Director, Multi-Asset Ratings at Morningstar. Welcome to the 401k Specialist Podcast, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
To start, I'm hoping you can frame the issue of what kind of the overarching issue is and why the retirement industry needs to address it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think retirement income has always been a big challenge for the asset management industry. I think the asset management industry has done a great job building products to help people grow their assets, like saving for retirement. But once you're in retirement, investors are kind of left on their own. Target date funds are a great example. They're a wonderful way for the average person to kind of get by their auto contributions, auto escalations, all these great features that make it really hands-off and easy for someone to use. Those benefits don't really have as much impact in retirement. Then it's basically just a portfolio, and the investor is kind of left on their own to deal with like required minimum withdrawal rates, and then balancing out kind of like that kind of tension between I want to like live off the fruit of my labors and enjoy retirement versus I don't want to run out of money.
Yeah, that's a very real fear for a lot of people. In your new research, you mentioned that annuities within TDF shows some real promise in helping solve the decumulation riddle. How might these new solutions be able to help, and can they be the easy button for retirement income?
I think they could help because they kind of cut through a lot of the hurdles to using an annuity and getting some kind of guaranteed income in retirement. Instead of going to like a annuity kind of shopping center and having to pick through all the various different kinds, and there are a lot of different kinds, so that's one of the things we learned while doing the research. Basically, the word annuity doesn't really mean anything on its own. There's so much details and so much nuances. So having a target date provider you trust, do that due diligence, pick the right kind of annuity for you, pick the right kind of insurers, that kind of cuts out a lot of that middle ground, I think, for investors and just makes it one step easier. I don't know if it's yet the easy button. Everyone's situation in retirement is going to be a little bit different. So target date funds, they've been criticized as being like a little too one size fits all. I think in the accumulation phase, that's probably overblown and overstated. But in retirement, you know, maybe there is more room for personalization, customization. Like the BlackRock, they're launching a series, BlackRock LifePath Paycheck. Their default is 30% of the portfolio will be annuitized if the investor opts in. And is 30% the right number for everyone? Probably not. But for most people, it might be a good starting point. But I think like it could help make that kind of transition to getting some kind of a benefit in retirement, a guaranteed income source, gives you the peace of mind that you know that's going to be there. So you don't have to worry about market fluctuations there with that part of your portfolio. And then it also gives you a little bit of opportunity with the rest of the money to invest a little bit more aggressively because you have that kind of safety net. So I think it's kind of like a win on paper, but I think there's a lot of details to sort out at the individual level.
Interesting. All right. I'm curious, what are some of the personal or behavioral biases that kind of come into play for retirement plan participants when deciding and implementing spending? And is there anything that can be done to address these?
Yeah, I think it's hard to figure out like what the right withdrawal rate is. How much can you afford to spend? You know, we've seen research, the rule of thumb has always been 4%, which is probably a fine starting point. But then when you see like the interest rate environment you had over the last 10 years where you're really getting nothing from your more conservative allocated investments, the 4% rule could be tough to get to for some investors and feel comfortable at the end of the day. So I think that's like one of the big challenges is figuring out year to year, how do you have to have like a flexible and dynamic strategy? Probably. But then how do you do that? That's really challenging, I think. That's why I think a lot of people turn to financial advisors, but that's not an option for everyone. You know, if you're not, don't have enough assets to really attract one, you kind of have to figure it out on your own. So having tools to help you get there should help a lot of people. And I think there's also this other kind of challenge between, do you want to, how much should you spend on a vacation this year? Or how much do you keep in your rainy day fund? This is this hard balancing act. And, you know, I don't want to run out of money in retirement. So I can certainly see where people are coming from. And the more products that can be there to kind of help smooth that transition and make it easier for people to be comfortable spending in retirement, I think the better.
Okay. In the new research, you talk about BlackRock's new LifePath Paycheck series and that it could quickly jump to the head of the class in this product category once it's introduced sometime this month. And BlackRock CEO Larry Fink sounded really excited about its potential in his recent letter to investors, going so far as to say he believes it will one day be the most used investment strategy in defined contribution plans. What's all the buzz about?
Well, I think because BlackRock is the first like big target date fund player to make a move into this space. We've seen other, there's about a dozen target date series, but they're, you know, run by insurance companies. Maybe they'll team up with a well-known target date provider like Nationwide and American Funds. They have kind of a partnership there, but no one that really has like the distribution heft of a BlackRock who can really go out and reach the biggest plans and already has relationships there and, you know, communicate and help educate people. That's why I think you're seeing them jump immediately to the number one. I think they're planning to have about $25 billion committed. The next biggest series with an annuity is $10 billion from AllianceBernstein. And that has doubled from 5 to 10 since the SECURE Act passed in the first version of it, which gave kind of fiduciary or plan sponsors a safe harbor to offer annuities on their plan. So we've seen a little bit of uptick, but I think, you know, when you look at the broader scheme of target date funds where it's like $3.5 trillion, we're still in the very, very early innings here. And I do think all the other big providers are looking at this space, you know, like your Vanguard's, T. Rowe's, Fidelity's. And I think depending on how this BlackRock version plays out, which there are some obstacles I think that all of these series are going to face, which we could talk about too. But I think if you start seeing success and seeing people use the defined benefit option, I think you're going to see a lot of all the other big players kind of make a similar change.
Right, right. Okay, now on the flip side of the coin, your research also notes that there is some question about whether investors will show enough interest to make it work and how Empower recently pulled its Income Flex Target series because of poor investor response. Can you tell us about the concern here?
Yeah, so that's one concern. And I think what they found was, you know, even though people were using the target date, they were spreading their investments on the plan out across other investment options too. So it wasn't like 100% contribution to the target date. And so when the target date was only a portion of their whole savings, what they saw when they got to the, you know, opt-in or opt-out part for the annuity, the guaranteed payments they were seeing were pretty small, because when you're only doing a portion, you know, your guaranteed income is going to look like, you know, maybe $1,000, $2,000. And so I think for some people, that just wasn't an appetizing enough entry point. So they saw people just weren't really participating. And I think that's going to be the real litmus test for whether or not these products are working 5-10 years from now. What is the participation rate? Because even if these annuities are working exactly as designed, you're getting good performance, but no one's participating, then there's really no real benefit to using this instead of a normal target date fund.
Okay. Any closing thoughts on what kind of impact you expect to see from this new wave of annuities within target date funds?
Yeah, I would say I'm not as optimistic as Larry Fink that they're going to take off very quickly. I think education, getting people comfortable with how it works, is going to be a big hurdle for adoption, particularly with plan sponsors who, you know, maybe are, when plan sponsors are run more of a human resources department and they're not as financially savvy. I think a lot of the plans BlackRock's talked to already are kind of on the much larger size, and they have more investment-focused people kind of working with the plans who might be able to help everyone else get comfortable with the idea. And then the other thing I think is a challenge is the fees. So for some of them, they use income annuities, which are kind of your standard, I give you a lump sum of money, you promise to pay me X amount a month for the rest of my life. There's no explicit fee attached to it, which makes it hard to kind of compare apples to apples on a fee standpoint. And I think we're all well aware the 401k plans are, you know, there's a lot of opportunistic lawyers out there, let's say, who are always looking for any reason to kind of get some kind of a, you know, fee-based litigation going. So I think for a lot of plan sponsors, you know, they're going to wait and see. And I don't get the sense that plan sponsors get rewarded for kind of taking risks or being a first mover. They want to not get sued. They want to have their plan, their participants have good options, but that doesn't mean they have to be at the cutting edge. So I think this is kind of where we are now with these target dates, annuities. But I think we're going to see, you know, we'll see how it plays out over time. I think it's an interesting idea, though. I do think, you know, longevity risk is something that everyone's going to have to deal with in retirement. And so annuities, you know, potentially are one solution that an investor has in their toolkit. So making it easier and more accessible is probably a good thing, but there's still a lot of complexity involved. And I think there's still, you know, it's hard to even say, like, if you're looking at annuity, are you getting a good deal or not? You really have to just compare like them all side by side. So I think that makes it challenging too, from a plan sponsor and a participant standpoint.
All right. Well, you've really brought up a lot of great points. And if you want to check it out, we have links to the new Morningstar research on the 401k Specialist webpage for this podcast, as well as a link to our website article about the research. So thanks so much to Morningstar's Jason Kephart for joining us today on the 401k Specialist podcast.